Hi, I'm Gina Jordan, a host here at WFSU Public Media. Today, we are speaking of a change in management at WFSU and an active member of our community who is leaving us. Have you been inspired by this brief nugget every week?
What inspires you? From WFSU Public Media, here's this week's Voices That Inspire.
I absolutely am inspired every time I hear community members who are making a difference talk about their own inspirations. Voices That Inspire is the brainchild of Kim Kelling, our longtime director of content and community partnerships. She's behind a lot of the amazing content you hear and see from WFSU Public Media. But alas, Kim is retiring. Kim, are you sure about this?
You know, it's every day you could probably get a different answer from me, but, you know, it's official now. My last day is Thursday, so I guess I am retiring, Gina. It's official.
Oh, well, we couldn't let you leave without gushing about you and talking about the person who will assume your job duties, and she'll be joining us shortly. First, I want to start with how you, as a New Jersey native, wound up making Tallahassee home.
That is a pretty funny adventure. You know, I grew up in New Jersey. My first job was in New York City. And then I migrated to California because I was in the film business. I was working as a producer. And then I fell in love with a Floridian, and he was not going to move to LA.
Oh.
So I really, at a very, you know, critical part in my career, decided to move to Tallahassee. And I did it for love.
Oh.
I did. And, you know, and I have no regrets of that decision. I continued to freelance as a producer back with some directors I worked with in California. But then we had our son, and it became harder to travel. And then someone said, you know, WFSU, they need somebody. You should go work for them. I'm like, I don't know anything about public television or radio other than I listen to public radio. But I came in and I met with Pat Keating, the general manager, and he hired me.
Yeah.
So that's how I started here.
The late Pat Keating, and I know he was a big mentor for you.
He really was. He believed in me, and it's a really powerful thing to have someone believe in you. It gives you the confidence to go forward.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you've been here for close to 25 years here at WFSU.
I know. How's that happen?
Well, that's an impressive run with any employer. And so what kept you here?
You know, I was really fortunate that opportunities, new challenges kept arising as I was here. You know, I came in under this concept of building our education department. That was a really exciting time. Building it from scratch, writing the first Ready to Learn grant, seeing that take off, and then opportunity coming up to take over managing the television side of our operations, which is really, you know, production was my background. I knew nothing about education. And when Pat Keating offered me that position, I'm like, I know nothing about education. I have never written a grant in my life, mm-hmm. and you're asking me to do both. Okay. All right, let's give this a try. And I just treated it like a production and like, okay, I'll research everything I need to know about writing a grant. And we wrote that first grant. We got it. And then I had to do my first workshop, which just cracked me up because I had no idea what I was doing, talking to educators about using PBS content in their classrooms.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I knew that education had been a big part of your job here. Also, your volunteer work. Can you just talk about all of the duties that you have here and how that work impacts the community?
Well, I truly believe that WFSU, what makes us unique, is that we serve our community. We are locally owned. We all work here. We play here. This is our community. And the content we create should be reflective of that community. So I felt it was really important to be out and be an ambassador for WFSU everywhere I went. I felt like I drank the Kool-Aid and realized how powerful our resources were, how great our content is, and I wanted everyone to know about WFSU.
Yeah.
So I just used that as an opportunity to get the word out. So different projects that I started developing, education in particular started it because so much of that work was in partnership with local schools, local preschools, people who are working in early education. Really, at that time when I first started, there was a real bias against using any kind of media in the classroom. You know, TV was bad. Trying to change that mindset that PBS Kids content was different and could help be a guide for teachers to use. And so, you know, making that case and joining boards that would help me. I think one of the first boards I was on was the Early Learning Coalition and learning, you know, working with them to help them understand the role that we could play, a partnership we could be. And so that's sort of how it started.
Yeah. I want to talk about your long and notable resume. You were a part of Leadership Tallahassee Class 28.
Correct.
You made the Tallahassee Democrats list of 25 women you need to know. You have served on what was the TCC Foundation Board. You're a founding trustee of Tallahassee Collegiate Academy. You're president of the Capital Women's Network. You just talked about your role at the Early Learning Coalition. You've been part of the United Way of the Big Bend. You co-founded the Aspire Initiative to connect youth with career and education opportunities. And you worked here during all of that.
Well, a lot of what I always found a way to connect WFSU to a lot of that work. It was intentional. You know, when I was part of Leadership Tallahassee, it was great. I was the first person from the station to go through that program. And I lobbied hard to do it because I knew that it would connect me in a deeper way to leaders within our community. And it did that. It made it easier to call people to say, hey, will you come be a part of something at WFSU? Will you, when you needed to talk to someone, I had those contacts. Mm-hmm. And so it was really intentional.
And it, I mean, really, you've become a community leader with everything you do. You've touched a lot of people and you've helped a lot of people. And I'm just wondering, what are you most proud of regarding your community involvement?
Ooh, I haven't thought of it in those terms. I feel proud that WFSU is so respected in the community. And there was a real mind shift here. When I first started to do a lot of the education work and be more of a face of WFSU out in the community, there was a mindset here that we don't need to know what the community wants. We know, WFSU knows what the community wants. And that was, I didn't agree with that. Yeah. I felt like if we're really truly representing the community, we have to hear from the community. So I feel my greatest contribution has been able to change that mindset and for people to feel so passionate about this station and what we do and who we are and that they want to work with us and they want to collaborate with us.
Yeah. At the top, we had a little snippet from Voices That Inspire. That's a weekly series on WFSU, and it features members of the community. It is an inspiring series, and I'm just wondering how you got that started.
It started initially with youth, and it was part of our American Graduate Initiative. So we had a grant, we still have a grant, that's all about connecting youth to opportunity, whether making sure they graduate from high school to knowing what they can do for post-secondary opportunities. But in working with youth, I realized a lot of people who might be listening to us don't really know what it's like to be a teenager. They don't have teens or they have young children. And I felt teens were maligned a bit. So I literally went into the classroom and recorded teens. And the series was called Voices from the Classroom. And after 200 plus interviews of young people, I decided to expand it to be Voices That Inspire because there's so many voices in our community that are worth hearing from. Mm-hmm. And so that became the platform for that.
An endless supply, really.
There's never it. And, you know, I love it because I, in sitting and talking to people, hearing what makes them excited about what they're doing, their passions, who inspired them, who they hope to inspire, it just makes me happy. After I do those interviews, I'm always in a good mood.
Yes, I'm right. How could you not be? Yeah. Well, under your leadership, WFSU has won regional and national awards for news and for educational content. We've been awarded many grants that have enabled us to produce award-winning work. And in particular, WFSU has been the recipient, and you talked about this, of the federal Ready to Learn grant for a couple of decades now. And the education department in this building is one of the most respected in the country. How has the education team's work become so revered?
It's all about being intentional, having clear goals of what you want to achieve, knowing who your audience is, who you want to serve, and building partnerships that can help expand and, you know, reach greater audiences through those partnerships. So it also takes time. And, you know, we started a long time ago building that trust that we are a legitimate resource. We're not just trying to pawn television off on kids. We're really intentional with the use of our resources. The grant has helped us define what we're trying to do, whether it's literacy, whether it's math, whether it's helping children feel part of something. Right now, the initiative is looking at a lot of children who have autism and how they can feel more included in a classroom community. So all of that work is done through very intentional partnerships, and that's what's allowed us to continue to grow and expand our reach.
That's a beautiful initiative. Yeah. Our general manager, David Mullins, has something to share with us about your departure.
Mm. You know, the terms irreplaceable and a treasure, they're used a lot, but she has always been such the advocate on behalf of WFSU in this community, and she's just got the brain power, I guess. She's just so smart and has great instincts. So, you know, I've learned a lot from Kim. It's not been a relationship of a general manager and a senior staff member. She has been just a partner all along. You know, I know the staff here is going to miss Kim greatly, as she has been such an important part of this organization for, what, 24 and a half years or so. She has had that unique ability to just bring everyone together so that they're all pulling and rowing in the same direction. So congrats to Kim for making that happen.
Aw, see?
Yeah, so I didn't think that I'd be that emotional, but that was hard. That was very powerful to hear that, and I appreciate that from David.
Well, you are loved, and you have been a mentor. You're retiring, and I feel like you're not done making a difference. Can you tell us anything about what's next for you?
Well, my husband, he teases me all the time because I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my time, because I'm not worried about that with you.
Right.
Obviously, community will always be important to me. And in the times that we're in right now, I really have a focus on reaching out to people and finding ways that we can counter misinformation, disinformation, so that people can make their decisions based on truth.
Yes.
So that's really important to me. And I have been talking to different people that I respect in the community that have platforms in which they can make a difference, of how can we navigate that here in our community. I feel that we have a lot of wonderful people here, but we need to be mindful of how we move forward. How can we support each other and make sure that we feel whole and that we feel that we can value the life that we have in this community?
Yeah. We had to conduct a massive search for your replacement because you are that hard to replace. And it turns out the position has been filled with someone who was already here. WFSU News Director Lynn Hatter joins us. Lynn, you're leaving the news department for this promotion. Congratulations.
Thank you. I obviously have very, very extremely large shoes that I'm going to attempt to fill. And it's not going to happen overnight, but I am truly honored to be, I guess, taking the baton and running with it from here as we do the ceremonial.
Yeah. Passing of the baton.
Passing yeah. of the baton. Yeah. I'm scared, y'all.
I'm excited. I'm excited for Lynn. I'm excited for the station. As I said to you earlier, Gina, I feel like I've had opportunities here at WFSU to grow when I was ready for that next challenge. And I'm excited for Lynn, who has done so much great work here and leading the news team, to have that next opportunity to grow and still be part of WFSU. You know, you have so much skill and energy and vision, and I can't wait to see what you bring to this position and to this organization.
Ooh.
No pressure.
No pressure.
You know, I'm excited. I think we all know that when I first found out that Kim was retiring, I called it the Hunger Games. And I think I did burst into tears just because the impact that Kim has left on the station has been so great. We have our foundation. How do we continue to grow? How do we continue to build upon it? And Kim is 100% correct. You know, the mindset shift. I often ask my reporters, who is this story for and why should they care? It's the questions I ask myself when we're deciding upon what big, hairy, audacious project are we going to take on next? What is most important to people? And really taking those questions to people and asking them. You know, our industry has changed so much, but I've always come from this as from a place of just deep inquiry. And I think that that's what makes the work that we do stand out. We do not profess to have the answers, but we go in search of a solution, or rather solutions, right, in the plural, because we know we don't have them. But that's our job. Our job is to say, well, here are some possibilities. Here are ways that we can do better. Here are ways that we can be better. That's my mindset. Others, where others see an obstacle, I see opportunity. I see possibilities. How can we dig deeper, do better?
Yeah. Well, as journalists and content providers, we have to reach people where they are. And so what can you tell us about that as you take on this new role?
You know, when I first started in journalism, our big word was convergence, right? Okay, here we are, you know, X number of years later, we're still talking about convergence, but it was the idea that media would no longer become siloed. It would sort of become one giant entity where information was on demand at your fingertips, multiple touch points. Well, look where we are 20 odd years later. We're radio, but yet we do social, we do digital. You know, there is no such thing as sort of pure radio. The purest form of that nowadays is a podcast, yep. But yet that podcast is on YouTube. So, you know, our lines are blurring. And what we have to do is continue to be nimble, to be responsive. You can no longer think of yourself as, oh, I'm just a print reporter. My bachelor's degree is in newspaper journalism.
Yeah. And well, I think it was interesting that the newsletter we'd send out, we've been doing this experiment with using AI to garner information from some of our audience. And the one we did just recently, mm-hmm. when we asked them, well, how do they engage with us? Most said online, mm-hmm. more than radio and more than television mm-hmm. is through online.
Yeah.
And so that's the reality. And if we're not in that space, then we're not reaching those audiences. So
no, and that's borne out by the data. I mean, Pew just had a survey that told us, you know, the dominant place where people get their news and their information is online. And that's extremely true, especially for people between the ages of, I think it was, I have the data charts because, you know, I never come without my little charts. But social media, 66% of people between the ages of 18 and 44, 44% of people 45 and older. So you see a lot of organizations in a lot of flux right now, right? Because this goes to the heart, this goes to the identity of what many organizations have believed themselves to be for their entire history. And I think that that is definitely creating a lot of angst within traditional media landscapes. but it's also creating great opportunities. You have the rise of independent journalists who no longer have to be beholden to a corporate station or a hedge fund managed newspaper. Mm-hmm. You can strike out on your own. I love to see it. You know, the basic premise of journalism is to be curious, to seek the truth and report it. And if you are seeking the truth and you are reporting it, congratulations, everybody's going to hate you. But it'll be okay.
Yes. Well, given that, Kim, do you have any advice or parting words of wisdom for us?
I guess as I sort of took on more responsibilities in this position, it became less about me and more about the people I managed and the people that I saw doing the work day to day. So as a leader at WFSU, it's really important that you kind of put aside some of your own self and take the time to help foster the growth of the people that work for you. And being a good listener is a really key part. It's not so much about what I think, but hearing what they think and how can we take what they're thinking and turn it into action. So as you take the reins of overseeing a very diverse group of people with different talents and skills, it's a lot like being a conductor and figuring out how you can get the best music made with all these different instruments. And so, you know, be patient with the people that are going to be, you know, a little meeting you in a new way. And you have so much that you can help them see a new direction, but just be patient with them and spend time listening, and you'll find that happy note to go forward.
Nice. I am truly, truly thrilled and honored, and I cannot wait to continue to grow and build upon your success and engage in this next chapter of WFSU Public Media.
Well, I'll be cheering you on.
We've been speaking with Kim Kelling, WFSU's longtime director of content and community partnerships, who is retiring, and her successor, soon-to-be former news director, Lynn Hatter. Best of everything to you both.
Thank you. Thanks, Gina.